From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Acts as he brings the final portion of a message called Barnabas. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Immediately Present. The text is Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A help that is not present when we need it is of small value. The anchor which is left at home is of no use to the seaman in the hour of storm. The money which he used to have is of no worth to the debtor when a writ is out against him. Very few earthly helps could be called very present. They are usually far in the seeking, far in the using, and farther still when once used. But as for the Lord our God, he is present when we seek him, present when we need him, and present when we have already enjoyed his aid. He is more than present. He is very present, more present than the nearest friend can be, for he is in us in our trouble, more present than we are to ourselves, for sometimes we lack presence of mind. He is always present, effectually present, sympathetically present, altogether present. He is present now if this is a gloomy season. Let us rest ourselves upon him. He is our refuge. Let us abide in him. He is our strength. Let us array ourselves with him. He is our help. Let us lean upon him. He is our very present help. Let us repose in him now. We need not have a moment's care or an instant fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Rejoice! Rejoice! Emmanuel shall come to thee, for he is my
Rejoice, O weary, sad, and world-bending in cares and strife. The Lord of
We at Let the Bible Speak pray that at this Christmas season, your heart will rejoice in the truth of God manifest in the flesh. Our prayer is that you may know God's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's unspeakable gift. Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37 introduce us to the man called Barnabas, the son of consolation. He embodied many characteristics that made him a leader among believers at the time. According to the biblical narrative, Barnabas was a good man who served the Lord selflessly, a man full of faith who rejoiced in the success of the gospel. Barnabas was full of the Holy Ghost, not only during special times, but as a way of life. He maintained a consistent vision of Christ and obeyed God's word. He exercised a ministry of encouragement, of comfort. He showed confidence in men who were looked upon with some suspicion by others. His message emphasized free grace, sound doctrinal teaching, and full commitment to Christ. Yet, as Dr. Cairns will show from the scripture record, Barnabas faded from prominence because of serious mistakes that cost him dearly. Now to conclude this message entitled, Barnabas, here is Dr. Cairns.
And a man will pray you through when you feel you're falling. What an encouragement it is to have a man like Barnabas, the ministry of encouragement. He had the ministry of evangelism. He was called with Paul. He was a great pioneer missionary. He gave his whole life to the itinerant work of evangelism. And he had, of course, the ministry of edification or establishment. The purpose of the second missionary journey was indeed just to establish the people who had been saved. An awful lot of truth there that evangelists today would do well to learn. Nowadays, it seems all you've got to do is get people to pray the magic prayer, and once they've said the magic words, just leave them there and you don't lead them on at all. I believe there should be preparation. There should be gospel preaching. There should be conviction of sin. Let a person come to Christ, certainly, but then, after that, they should be edified and established in the word and work of God. His was a ministry of edification and establishment. Just a word about his message. He had three great points to his message. Acts 15, verses 1 to 4. We'll study this a little more in detail later. First point in Barnabas' preaching was free grace. That was it. He had no time for a gospel, part of grace and part of works. He had a big controversy, as did Paul, with those in the church who wanted to mix law and grace. And Barnabas was for preaching free grace. Now, I'll not take time to expound that this morning, otherwise there'll be no Sunday school and maybe no evening service either. So he preached free grace. Secondly, in chapter 13 and verse 43... he was preaching a firm grounding for those who had received free grace. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to confess of God. That was not to go back to the beggarly elements of Judaism, not to give up the doctrines of grace, but to get firmly grounded in them. Didn't Paul emphasize the same thing again and again? Being rooted and grounded in Christ. So Paul and Barnabas, first of all, preached free grace. And then they preached a firm grounding in the doctrines of grace. And then in Acts 11 and verse 23, he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. His third point, preaching to Christians, was the point of a full commitment. A full surrender to the Lord. Now look, in those three points of Barnabas' message, you've got the ministry of every man of God. Free grace. There's the whole gambit of gospel preaching. Firm grounding. There's the whole ministry to the people of God, establishing them in the word of the gospel's truth. And now full commitment. There you have the whole work of Christian service and surrender to the Lord. That's the kind of preaching Barnabas preached. Now, it's sad to have to finish talking about Barnabas, having talked about such a man and such a ministry and such a message, to talk about Barnabas' mistakes. You see, he was a man. And what a lesson for us. What a lesson for us that even such a man, among the most perfect men who have ever walked this earth, what a lesson that such a man should actually fall into error and sin. He made two great mistakes. If you turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, you'll find that he, and of course he was in very big company, for Peter was along with him. In fact, Peter was the cause of it. They say no Christian lives unto himself. When a Christian sins, he normally drags other people down with him into his sin. And that's what Peter did. Galatians 2 and verse 11. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. That was his first big mistake. It's always wrong for a Christian to have double standards. Always wrong. Peter and these Jews and even Barnabas, they lived quite happily and rightly and justly and scripturally one way until some notables came down from Jerusalem. And just because, to put it in its modern jargon, they would have got into trouble with the denominational machine, they backed off. They caused a scandal in the church in Antioch. They grieved the Gentile believers. Double standards. My friend, God's people ought to be what they ought to be, and that's that. You ought not to be one thing in the home and another thing in the business. Let me tell you a story. It'll not take me very long, but it'll be good. Do you talk here about somebody who hangs their fiddle outside the door? No, you don't know English yet. Let me tell you, this is an old, old saying back in our part of the world. When a person hangs his fiddle outside the door, it means that he leaves all his sweetness and light and music and harmony outside, and he's a bear with a sore head when he comes inside. He's a good, decent sort of character outside, but he's a completely different character inside. Well, we knew a man back home, and when he was a young fellow, he got involved in children's work. And in this church, the children's work was run by a certain young woman. And of course, since he was a young fellow, he got very interested not only in the children's work, but in the young woman that was running the children's work. And she was so sweet. There she was up there, smiling from ear to ear. And she played her piano accordion, and she sang, and she told stories, and everybody loved her. She was the greatest thing that anybody could find. Well, he got to walking her home after the meetings. And then he got a step further, and he even called for her to bring her to the meeting. Well, he got to the house this night a little early. She just wasn't ready to walk out through the door. And so her mother came and said she'll just be a minute or two. Of course, having met the mother for the first time, he thought he'd better say something. He said, what a lovely person her daughter was. She said, aye, she is. It's just a pity she hangs her fiddle outside the door. He said, oh, I knew she played the piano accordion. I never knew she played a fiddle. But how many people are like that? I think of a little man, little in every way, little of stature, little of mind, little in every way. I think an ungodly hypocrite. If I showed you him on a Sunday morning walking out of his home and going down to his church with a Bible the size of mine under his arm, dressed immaculately, my, you would say, there's the holiest man in the city of Belfast. You would say that. What you didn't see was the foul mouth, cursing, swearing rascal who was such a foul character. When I dealt with his son one day after a meeting, he said, look, if my father's going to heaven, I'd rather be in hell. Now, the son was a fool. Because if he doesn't repent, if one or either of them don't, or both of them don't repent, they'll be in hell together. My friend, it's wrong to have double standards. Dissimulation. And then there was division. Acts 15 and verse 39. This is where we come to a close. Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas, having stood for the Lord through their first missionary journey, and according to Galatians 2, you know, they were together for a long time. Having stood for the Lord in their first missionary journey, having stood for the Lord together in the council in Jerusalem, decide to go round the churches again that they had seen established and encourage them and edify them and establish them in the work of the Lord. Barnabas says, verse 37, Barnabas determined. That was a flaw. Now, he was right, I think, to have confidence in John Mark, but he was determined. That's where even this very good, great, and godly man began to let self get in. He determined to take with them John Mark. And Paul thought it not good to take him with them who had departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them. Listen, some of the saddest words in the New Testament, that they departed
asunder one from the other. And although there were certainly warm feelings of heart in later years between Paul and Barnabas, they never again got together in the work of God. The greatest evangelistic team in the history of Christianity, and it went asunder. Division. Now, I don't think Paul was without fault. There are very few instances where you can actually say, that was wrong, that was wrong, that was wrong in the life of Paul and Barnabas. But this is one of them. Paul was not without fault. And certainly Barnabas was not without fault. When I look at these two men in this condition, I have to ask myself, why was there no prayer meeting about it? Why did Barnabas determine, not say, look, Paul, let's get down before the Lord about this. Why did Paul say, I don't think it's right, instead of saying, Barnabas, let's get down before the Lord about this? Why was there no church decision? Why did they not call the elders and the prophets in the church there? Why did they not get together with the people of God and say, Lord, we want a decision from heaven in this matter? What was wrong? Even in these two outstanding men, two of the greatest and godliest men who have ever lived, there was the welling up of self, the expression of their own will. They went asunder. Now, you would say Barnabas was justified in his confidence in John Mark. Ultimately. But I can't help wondering, what did Barnabas lose by splitting from Paul? For the Holy Ghost takes Paul's life. Now, Barnabas worked and labored fruitfully from then until the day he died. But God, the Holy Ghost, took Paul's life. And with that life, he shaped the destiny of the world. All the other preachers did a great work. But Paul's ministry changed the history of the whole world. And I wonder just what Barnabas lost. I have seen people, you know, who have done something similar. We laugh back home, although it's not really a funny laugh. It's a laugh. Well, you laugh when you're afraid. You laugh when you're sad sometimes. You laugh when you're nervous. I don't know why we laugh at this, but it seems so strange. There are people, and they can't live with us. And they yet can't live without us. I think of one of the closest friends I ever had. He was an elder in a Free Presbyterian church. I owe more to that man under God than to most men. He has done some terrible things in the interim against the Free Church, said some terrible things, and yet in my heart, I could never find hardness toward him. I love him as a brother and as a father in Christ. And yet, he couldn't stick us. He got, well, I'll not go into all why, but I think it was just a lot of self got in. Certainly it was an expression, pushing forward, something wrong. Finally he left. It's a tragedy. Tragedy for the church he left, because I have seen 16 or 17 people in one meeting through that man's personal endeavors. Tragedy for the church he left. A tragedy for himself, because he's been as miserable from the day he left. He's gone to another church. That church will never bless his soul. I know him as well as I know myself. And every time we would pass him on the road, I would say to my wife, you see Jimmy smile. Might fool the world, but I could tell you when Jimmy smiles and he's miserable. If ever I saw a man that was miserable, there he is. I think of Barnabas, a good man. What did he lose? And what did Paul lose? I want to tell you, had Barnabas stayed with Paul, Paul would never have been able to say, all men have forsaken me. For I'll tell you, should they have cut him in little pieces, Barnabas would never have forsaken him. What did Paul lose? What did the work of God lose? Only the Lord knows the answer to those things. My friend, what a warning to you and me. If Paul and Barnabas could sin, so can you, so can I. Let us be very, very careful about this matter of contention, this matter of division, this matter of self-assertion, where you determine and somebody else determines. And the irresistible force meets with the immovable object. Let's just be careful of that. Let's take it to the Lord. Otherwise, we'll all be the losers. And we'll grieve the Spirit of God. I trust this morning that the Lord will speak to you. He certainly, as I studied this message, has spoken to me. That our prayer will be, Lord, make me a Barnabas. Save me from his mistakes. I've made far bigger ones, but save me from them. Lord, make me a Barnabas, a man, mighty in faith and the Holy Ghost.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.